Let's see how it goes. Okay, we're going to look at the Mishnah in the second perek. It's actually it's the first Mishnah in the third perek, I should say. On Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The first part of the Mishnah is not what interests us tonight, so I'm going to skip that part, because what we're going to try to do tonight is to find a connection between this Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chaf Aleph and Purim and Chanukah together. Because since we have Chanukah coming up in a few days, I thought it would be exciting to try to find a particular sugya in Masechet Megillah that connects us to Chanukah. Just one word of introduction, this sugya deals with the brachot that we recite before the Megillah. And does anybody know how many there are on the first night, at least? In the day is going to be an issue, but there are three, actually. Okay, and we'll see that as we go along. Now, there also is, in addition to the three blessings before the Megillah, there's also a fourth blessing, which is recited when? After the Megillah. And that blessing, that bracha after the Megillah, is known as Harav Esrivenu. That blessing is not on the table tonight because there's no parallel in Chanukah. That's a special bracha for Megillah. Maybe we'll get into it at some later point, but tonight we want to focus on the brachot that precede the Megillah reading, the three brachot. So we'll start with the last few words in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Makom shenagu levarech yivarech. A place where they have the custom to recite the bracha, then they should go ahead and recite the bracha. V'shalo levarech, a place which has a custom to omit the brachot, lo yivarech, should not make the bracha. And the Gemara right away, which you'll see here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, is going to be wondering about this Mishnah. Because in fact, every mitzvah, and this includes not only a mitzvah min haTorah, but even a mitzvah min Rabbanon, requires a bracha lefanel. It doesn't seem to be dependent upon minog. This is an absolute requirement. So the Gemara says here on Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, and this if you count down from the top of the page, or you can use the page that I gave you tonight, either way. So it's about 9 lines down from the top. Omar Abaye. Abaye makes the following comment. Lo shanu, and here I would like you to write this down in your own notebooks. Lo shanu, this was not taught. Ela liachreha. Rather, or only with regard to the blessing that we recite after the Megillah. That blessing depends upon minhag. Those who have the custom to recite that blessing will indeed recite it. Those who don't will leave it out. Aval lifaneha, but with regard to the bracha before the Megillah, mitzvah levarech, meaning it's an absolute requirement to be mevarech in every place at every time. This is not something that reflects a tradition, a minhag, but rather is absolute. And Abai is going to go ahead now and prove this. How does he prove it? So he's going to quote a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kol ha-mitzvos kulon, all the mitzvos, every one of them, which means whether it's Doraisa or whether it's Derabbanan, they all require what's called a bracha mevarech aleihem. We make a bracha on these mitzvos over lasiyason. So we're going to take a minute now to analyze and understand these two words. Over lasiyason. Over means before or prior to. That's called over in Lashon Kodesh. Lasiyason to their asiyah. Every mitzvah has an asiyah. It has an act, a mitzvah act that has to be implemented, has to be performed. And every mitzvah act has to be preceded by a bracha. And the reason for that is because Chachamim, the rabbis, made a special takana, a special institution, to require that every mitzvah get a bracha before it. I can't think offhand, maybe you could come up with a mitzvah that doesn't have a bracha before it. In fact, in a few rare cases, they'll have more than one bracha before it. And that's going to cause some question as to why there are two or maybe even three brachos before a mitzvah. Now the Gemara goes ahead and says, Lefanel mai mevarech, now that you've established that before the Megillah reading, you absolutely must make a bracha. It's not a question of custom, but it's a requirement, it's an obligation that's universal, that's absolute. What are the brachos that you recite? So Rav Sheshes Mikatriza, that was the place that he came from, he makes the following statement. Ikla lekame diravashi. It actually is not a statement, it's just a story. He came at the time of Megillah reading in front of Ravashi, and he's going to report to us exactly what he saw Ravashi. What did he do before the Megillah reading? Ubarech. And Ravashi recited the blessings. And now we have to understand what blessings did Ravashi actually recite. So the answer is Manach. What is Manach? Now in our day and age, if you see this abbreviation Manach, it refers to someone called the Minchas Chinuch. But he wrote his book like, shall we say, 1700 years after the Talmud. So we can't refer to the Minchas Chinuch. So what is this referring to? So Rashi tells us that this is called notrikon. Notrikon means where every letter stands for a word.
Rashi
Teva. Okay, maybe Rashi Teva.
Acronym.
Mm-hmm. Rashi Teva would be Minchas Chinuch, but here it's not exactly Rashi Teva. It's what's called notrikon. So let's go through the three letters and try to understand. Mem. Rashi says, this is about, if you're looking in Rashi, about 10 lines down from the top of the page, Rashi says that the Mem stands for Al Mikra Megillah. In other words, the word Al is not significant. That's just like a prefix. The main word is Mikra. And the first letter in the word of Mikra is Mem. And that corresponds to the Mem of Manach. Then we get to Nun. And Rashi says, the Nun refers to the Bracha She'asa Nisim. Again, the She'asa is somehow, in this acronym, as you call it, is given a secondary position. It's not primary. And therefore you get to the word Nisim. Miracles. So this is the bracha made on miracles, meaning we thank God for giving us the miracles. And the first letter in the word Nisim is Nun. So that's the Nun of Manach. And finally, the most complicated of all is the third bracha, which doesn't even begin, no word within it begins with a Chet, which is the third letter of Manach, but Rashi says Shehechiyonu. So we take out the Shin, and we take out the He, and we're left with the ches of Shehechiyonu. And this indeed is the bracha that closes the set of three brachos that we recite and must recite before the Megillah reading. So let's just summarize what we know. The Mishnah says that the bracha depends upon custom. And when we read the Mishnah, without knowing any better, we would assume that it's referring to the brachas that we know. But Abai proves that that can't be the case, that the Mishnah is not referring to the bracha or the three brachas that come prior to the Megillah reading. Those are an absolute chiyuv. Those apply, are obligatory everywhere at every time. But rather, the Mishnah is referring to the bracha after the Megillah. That bracha depends upon minhag. Now let's take a minute to think about how Abaye proves his point from the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel makes a universal statement, a claim, that all the mitzvot, all of them, Mevarech Aleihem Over Elas Yosam, require a bracha before the mitzvah. Now, in order to appreciate the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, I would like to introduce a distinction, a categorization of brachos. We have three and possibly four categories of brachos. If I had a blackboard here, I'd write it on the blackboard. The first category, which is the one that we're focusing on tonight, anybody know what that's called? Yeah, what kind of bracha is that? Berchat HaMitzvot. So that's number one, Berchat HaMitzvot. Every mitzvah requires a bracha. Then we have a second category of brachot, and that's called a Berchat HaNehenim, which means a bracha that we make before we enjoy the benefits of this world. So if I want to eat an apple, I recite Baruch Priyates. That's called a Berchat HaNehenim. Then we have a third category of bracha, which is called a Berchat HaShevach, a bracha that praises God for some natural phenomenon in nature that's absolutely awe-inspiring. For example, if you see a beautiful ocean or a mountain or something of that sort, so you make a bracha which is called a Berchat HaShevach.
Rainbow,
correct. One of the classical Birchas HaShevach Vodoya is called Sha'osa Ma'aseh Bereishis. You remember that? You know, when you see some phenomenon in nature, you make that bracha. There's maybe a fourth category of brachot, which is called Birchot HaTfilah, brachot that are recited within the context and for the purpose of prayer. So for example, when we say the Amidah, how many Berchot HaTfilah make up the Amidah?
We call it
on weekdays 18, correct, Shmon Esser, but there really are 19, as you say.
And sometimes 20,
sometimes 7. But the Brachot are essentially Tfilah, and certainly the 13 Brachot that make up the, shall we call it, the Kishkes, the central part of the Amidah on the weekday, are tefillah, are brachas ha-tefillah. And in general, whenever you come across a bracha, whatever it might be, you automatically analyze that bracha from the perspective of these four categories, and you try to subsume it into one of these four categories. Now, excuse me, with regard to these four categories, three out of four of them are without doubt obligatory and do not depend upon custom. Number one, Berchat HaMitzvot. So whenever I perform a mitzvah, before I eat matzah, I make a bracha. And before I sit in the sukkah, I make a bracha, etc., etc. That's absolute. That's a requirement. Number two is Berchat HaNenim, a bracha that I have to recite on hana, on pleasure. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. It's not dependent upon, conditional upon the minhag. You know, these were established by Chacham, by the Chazal, and you're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of this world without a bracha. Then we have the category of tefillah that we mentioned, the fourth category. Clearly, with regard to tefillah, those brachot are obligatory. In fact, if you omit one bracha, then you have to start from scratch again. Every single bracha is essential to the Amidah, to the Shmoneh Esrei. Then by process of elimination, which category of brachot could lend itself to custom, to being dependent upon place and time?
Sheva.
Only Sheva, correct. Only Birchat HaSheva. Now, one of the classical cases of a Berchat HaShevach would be the bracha that we recite after the Megillah. Namely, Haravet Rivenu Vadonet Inenu Vanokemet Nikmatenu. We praise God for having defended us against our enemies, having fought the battles as if He were our representative. And that, according to Abaye, is what the Mishnah here at the beginning of the third parak of Megillah has in mind when it says, Makom shenagu levarach yivarach, lo nagu levarach lo yivarach. Because since that bracha, namely, the one that comes after the Megillah, Haravet Rivenu, is in fact a Birchat HaShevach to thank God, then it clearly could depend upon minhag. It doesn't have to depend upon minhag, but it certainly is open to that possibility. And there may be a whole bunch of birchot hashevachs that will depend upon minhag.
Wouldn't Birchat
HaMazon
be in that category?
Birchat HaMazon would also be in that category, but Birchat HaMazon is a mitzvah d'oraita.
Yeah, but I was going to say that we're talking about that being optional.
Yeah, no, wait. Again, I have to emphasize this. If I was mistaken, then I correct myself. I did not mean to say that every Birchat HaShevach is optional. That's not what I said. What I meant to say was, and let me clarify this, that if you were going to find a bracha and claim that it's optional, it would have to belong to this category. It could not belong to any of the other three categories. It doesn't mean that every single Birchat HaShevach that you check on the list is optional. As you point out very well, Birchat HaMazon, which we recite after eating a meal, and the Torah dictates this, mandates this under the law of Yachalta V'Savata V'Erachta, that doesn't depend upon Minhag. And there are a host of other brachot of Shevach V'Odoy that don't depend upon Minhag.
But I was thinking of all the categories to think of as optional, you pick the one that has a Torah stipulation that goes with it.
Right, but also Birchas HaTorah has a Torah stipulation, and that Birchas HaTorah is a sugya to itself. Maybe we'll get to it sometime, but that might be a Birchas HaMitzvah. And then you have a classical case in the Torah itself, because the Gemara derives from the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Godol Elokeinu, of a Birchas HaMitzvah Min HaTorah. So that's a long discussion whether Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaMitzvah. But again, even if the Torah says under a specific situation you are required to recite a bracha with Shevach V'Odoya V'Achalta V'Savata V'Erachta after eating, it doesn't mean that on every single occasion for Shevach I'm absolutely required to recite that bracha.
How much of Birchat HaMazon is Doraita?
I would say the first bracha is Doraita. I don't know about the other three, but the first bracha is Doraita. So again, we now begin to justify Abai's conclusion that the bracha that the Mishnah is referring to, that the Mishnah claims is conditional and depends upon your minog, that bracha is referring to the bracha l'achareah. It can't be referring to the bracha l'faneha, as Abai points out, that the bracha l'faneha is an absolute obligation under the law of Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvot kulan, mevarech aleihem over la'asiyatan. Every mitzvah requires a bracha before it. That couldn't be dependent upon minhag. However, there is a problem over here. And that's manach. Not the mem of manach. That I understand. But the nun and the chet of manach. That I don't understand. The Mem of Manach, which refers to Al Mikra Megillah, is a classic Birchas HaMitzvah, and certainly is obligatory in any place at any time under the rule of Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvot Kulam Vrech Aleihem Over La'asiyatan. But the situation gets a lot more complicated and obfuscated when we get to Nach, when we get to Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu. Now, in order to drive home in a clear way what I'm asking, I'll ask you a different question. How many brachot do you give to your award to every mitzvah? Do we lavish upon a mitzvah a whole bunch of brachot? Are we very generous and magnanimous about it? Okay, I was hoping that there would be an answer to that. How many brachot do you recite on every...
It might depend on the circumstances.
Feeling get two.
And that's not true either. I'll tell you why. Because let's say you only have a tefillin shel rosh. Okay. Do you wear it? Do you make a bracha on it? Absolutely. So my point is that tefillin has two different mitzvot to it. Again, you use the same word to define both, but they're two totally independent mitzvot. On the other hand, tzitzit is how many mitzvot? I'm just fooling you. It's only one. And therefore it gets only one bracha. The rule here that I'm trying to drive home to you is that we're very stingy on mitzvot as far as giving out brachot. It's like... one tiki per washi. You know, we don't give out brachot as they come.
Well, you use the example of matzah. So for matzah, we have... No.
Only one. Asher kitshanu mitzotav etzivaru ala chilat matzah.
Preceded by...
That's a different kind of bracha. That's a brachas hanenin.
Yes.
But my point is that every mitzvah, as as a mitzvah, will only get one bracha. And therefore I submit to you that Megillah, like any other mitzvah in the Torah, or Midrabanan, it doesn't matter, will only get one bracha. Which of the three letters represents the bracha on the mitzvah of Megillah?
Mem.
Then by definition, I've eliminated the chet and the nun and the chet in this case, from being candidates for Birchat HaMitzvah. Meaning, the nun and the chet could not possibly belong to the category called Birchat HaMitzvah because we've already covered the one bracha that we give to a mitzvah. So oddly enough, we have three brachos on the mitzvah of Megillah. What are they? The first is a classical Asher Kitshanu Mitzvotav and Tzivanu Birchat HaMitzvah. What about the second one? Sha'asa nisim lavotenu. Or the third one, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu. What kind of brachos are those?
No mitzvah is mentioned.
And therefore, what kind of brach is it? Is it a tefillah? There's no tefillah here, there's no prayer. It's not nanim. I mean, I'm not about to eat a piece of potato kugel. So what could it be?
Sheva.
It's got to be shevach. We are thanking and proclaiming the greatness of God for having brought these miracles upon the Jewish people. Or in the case of Shechiyanu, for having brought us to this moment that we could experience this mitzvah. But in no way, no how can you classify those two brachot as a birchat hamitzvah. So therefore I raise the following question. How does Abaye know? Which little birdie whispered into Abaye's ear that when the Mishnah says Makom Shenagu Levarach Yivarach, Makom Shalono Lo Yivarach, that it's referring to the Bracha L'Achar HaMegillah, namely to Haravet Rivenu? Let's be argumentative about it.
It could be the second and the third.
It could be the second and the third. In other words, again, the fact that these two brachot of Shasa Nisim and Shechiyanu are placed, are juxtaposed prior to the reading of the Megillah, that's purely coincidental. That has nothing to do with defining the essence of the bracha. So to the same extent that Abaye understands that the Birchas Shevach V'Hodoyah is what the Mishnah is referring to, in this case the Bracha Achreah, well, if the Mishnah is referring to Birchas Shevach V'Hodoyah, minayim lecha, how do you know, Abaye, that it's referring to the Bracha Achreah? Maybe it's referring to the Bracha Lefanel. Not the first Bracha Lefanel, because that clearly, Abaye has us absolutely convinced, is a requirement in every place and every time, because Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that Kol HaMitzvos Kulo Mevarech Aleihem Over La'Asiyos. That's only the one brach of Shasa of Al Mikra Megillah that doesn't apply to the other two brach. That's question number one. But the plaque grows thicker. And I have another question to ask. The second question is based on a Gemara in Sukkah. This Gemara, if you want to make a note of it, is on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, 46a in Sukkah. I did not have a copy of this Gemara for you right now, so you'll have to rely on my transmission of the Gemara. The Gemara says the following: that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we've had a lot lately to do with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he's become a good friend of ours. He claims that the bracha on Lulav is only recited on the first day of Sukkot, but B'Shar Yemei HaChag, on other days of Sukkot, the bracha is omitted.
Every bracha?
I'm talking about the bracha on the mitzvah of Lulav. I'm not sure what you mean by every bracha. Asher Kitshanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, on what day of Sukkot are we obligated to take the Lulav? Only on the first part, L'Kachem L'Kachem B'Yom HaRishon. Why do we take the lulav every day? On the Torah level, where do they take the lulav every day? Only in the Beit HaMikdash, right? V'Samachtem L'Fnei Hashem L'Kechem Shivas Yomim. But outside of the Mikdash, in what we call Gvulim, there was no mitzvah to take the lulav beyond the first day. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted a mitzvah of taking the lulav all 7 days. But the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we do not make a bracha unless it's a mitzvah d'oraita. If it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, then we do not make a bracha. The Gemara rejects Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and presents an opposite view, and that's the way we paskin, that we'll recite a bracha even on a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But clearly the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we make no bracha on Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Why do we not make a bracha on Hadlokas Ner Chanukah? Because it's a mitzvah to Rabbanan. So if it's a mitzvah to Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there's no bracha. Now, let's get back to the case of Mikra Megillah, which is the subject of our Mishnah here. In the case of Mikra Megillah, what kind of mitzvah do we have? Doraita or Drabana? Clearly Drabanan. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we don't make a bracha. So how does Abaye know that our Mishnah that says that the bracha on the Megillah is dependent upon Minog, how does Abaye know for a fact that that statement in the Mishnah is referring to the bracha l'achreya, Taravas Rivenu? You could argue that the bracha l'faneya is dependent upon a Minog. Let me explain. We don't know how to paskin. There are some communities that may have accepted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. There are other communities that rejected Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and paskin, like the Chachamim, who say that a mitzvah derabanan likewise requires a bracha. Therefore, the Mishnah makes the following statement: we cannot come to any definite conclusion about a bracha on Megillah, and therefore we depend upon Minhag. If your community accepts Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then omit the bracha. And which bracha are we talking about now?
Al-Mikra
Megillah, the Mem. Now we're asking a more fundamental, far-reaching question. Even with regard to the Mem of Manach, namely the Birchas HaMitzvah, I don't know if it's absolute, because since the Mitzvah Drabbanon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that there's no bracha on a Mitzvah Drabbanon. The Gemara says explicitly, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we drop the bracha on Adlokas Ner Chanukah, because it's only Drabbanon. There may be other communities in which the opinion of the Bar Plugta of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the opposite view, is accepted, and therefore we do require a bracha. So it all depends upon the minhag of your makom. If your Marad Asra, you know, the Rav Paskins in that makom, or that's the way the minhag evolved, that we drop the bracha on Megillah because it's only a mitzvah drabbanan like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then the Mishnah says lo yivarech. If on the other hand your particular community, Lawrence Bathurst, you know, you have taken on the minhag that we do make a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan, both on Purim and on Chanukah. So the Mishnah says, "Makom shenagu levarech yivarech," then he's required to be mevarech. So let's just summarize two questions that we have when we look below the surface at the statement of Abaye, and both questions come to the same punchline: how does Abaye know for sure? How does he prove that the bracha that the Mishnah has in mind, which depends upon minhag, is the bracha l'achreya? For two different reasons, I could argue that the Mishnah is referring to the bracha l'faneya. Either if I say the Mishnah is referring to nun, chet, shasa nisim, or shechiyonu, both of which are birchas ha-shevat, no less than the haravas rivenu, and maybe those brachas depend upon minhag. Number two, how do I know that even Al-Mikra Megillah couldn't depend upon minhag? Maybe, in fact, it does depend upon minhag. And why? Because since it's a mitzvah derabanan, you have two traditions that evolved as to whether or not we can recite a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan. The first question that I presented to you, I heard once from Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe. The second question I found in a sefer called the Turei Evan, which is authored by the same author of the Shagas Aryeh, that's a classic in Talmud. It was written some 2.5 centuries ago. And both these questions are phenomenal questions. What I would like to do in the next, let's say, 20 minutes or so, is to try to make my own humble attempt at answering these questions and explaining the Gemara of Abaye. And this is going to lead us to a parallel between Megillah and Chanukah, which is my goal for tonight. Number one, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, if you recall from last week, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that we have to read the Megillah twice. Once at night, and once by day. There were two versions of the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if you recall. I'm going to focus tonight on the second version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which is quoted in the name of Rabbi Chelvo. And that is that the derivation of this halacha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to read the Megillah once at night and once by day is the pasuk in Tilim, Leman Yizamercha Chavod V'lo Yidom, Hashem Elokai Li'olam Odecha. Now, Rashi says that what's the connection between this pasuk of Li'olam Odeka and Kriyas HaMegillah? Says Rashi, Kriyas HaMegillah Shemachu. The reading of the Megillah itself has a component, an element of Shemach. Shemefarsim et hanes, we publicize the miracle through reading the Megillah. V'hakol mekalsim la'kodesh baruch hu. And everybody comes and praises and lauds Almighty God. In fact, the Gemara later on in Megillah, on Daf Yud Dalet, and maybe we'll take this up as a separate sugya to learn, B'li Neder, says that, how did the Rabbanon have the power to institute Mikra Megillah? The Gemara says, because of a Kal V'Chomer. If the Jews recited a song of praise when they left Mitzrayim, when they were at Kriyat Yamsuf, and they were leaving from a state of Avdus, in entering into a state of cherus, from slavery to freedom, how much more so should we be required to recite a shira, a song of praise to God, when we are saved from misa l'chaim, from death at the hands of Haman and his decree, to life at the time of the Nes of Purim? So basically the Gemara says that Kriyas HaMegillah is a form of shevach, of thanksgiving, to praise God. Therefore, I would submit to you the following conclusion, that Mikra Megillah really has two different dimensions to it. It's what we call a double mitzvah. It conceals the fact that it really has two mitzvahs to it. And the nafkamina is going to be how many brachas it deserves. Meaning, we said before, and I still stick to my guns on this, that we're very stingy about giving out brachas. One mitzvah, one bracha. But supposing the mitzvah really has within it, you don't necessarily see it on the surface, it contains within it a second mitzvah. So one mitzvah is reading the Megillah. Asher Kitshanim, it's also the Tzivana al Mikra Megillah. But since we've established that Mikra Megillah has an additional dimension to it, another Kiyum HaMitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah of Shemach, of Thanksgiving. In fact, the Gemara says that Mikra Megillah replaces the normal Hallel that we have on other holidays. So we read the Megillah and we don't recite Hallel. And as Rashi says on the Avdalah, HaKol Boim L'Kales, everybody comes around, what's the language of Rashi? U'Mekalsim LaKodesh Baruch Hu, and they praise Almighty God for these miracles. That's Li'Olam Odeka. That means that in addition to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, of reading the Megillah, we also have a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shevach and Hodoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you'll ask me, so what's the source for Shevach Hodoya? And the answer is the Kal V'Chomer that we mentioned before. That if we go from Misa, from Avdus L'Cheres, we have to say Shira, how much more so for Misa L'Chaim? If that be the case, and if indeed there are two Kiyumim, two fulfillments of two different mitzvahs with regard to Mikra Megillah, then how many brachas should we anticipate?
Two.
Two, not one, but two. And therefore, I would submit to you that the second bracha, namely Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu, was formulated as a bracha attached to the mitzvah, not of Kriyas HaMegillah per se, but the aspect of Kriyas HaMegillah of Shevach Odoya, insofar as Kriyas HaMegillah is a vehicle through which we fulfill the mitzvah of Shevach Odoya, and on that a second bracha was established. Now you may ask me, if a second bracha was established, it should also have Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvot HaVitzivana. But the answer to that question, I believe, is that once you've already recited Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvot HaVitzivana on the Mikra Megillah, on the obligation to read the Megillah, now that reading of the Megillah is the asiyah, that's the implementation of Asher Kidshanu Mitzvot HaTzivanu al Mikra Megillah. That reading of the Megillah already contains within it an element, a dimension of Shevach Vodoya. The second bracha allows me simply to focus, and it's more than just a focus, it's more than just an emphasis. The bracha itself, I would say, is part and parcel of the Shevach Vodoya. You find that in other cases. It's a somewhat rare phenomenon, but occasionally there's a Birchas HaShevach V'Odoya where the bracha itself is part and parcel of the Shevach V'Odoya. I'll give you an example. Birchat Kriyat Shema. What you find is that Birchat Kriyat Shema, we thank Hashem for creating the great luminaries, you know, the sun and the moon and so forth, Yotzer HaMa'orot. And then we go ahead and we thank Hashem for giving us the Torah, for choosing us as the special nation, etc., etc. So sometimes the brach itself contains within it an element of Shevach V'Odoya. And here I think we have a perfect example. Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu, that brach itself, when it's connected to the Megillah reading, indicates and embellishes the kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shevach V'Odoya. And therefore there's no need to add Asher Kidshanu Mitzvot V'Tzivanu. Sha'asa Nisim Lavoteinu is itself a bracha of Shevach V'Odoya. But clearly, that bracha has to come before the Megillah reading. And since that bracha is related to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, because through the mitzvah of Megillah we fulfill the mitzvah of Shevach V'Odoya, it's not dependent upon custom. It doesn't come under the law of Makom Shenagu or Ein Makom Shenagu. It comes under the halacha of Kol HaMitzvot Kulan Mevarech Aliyem Over L'Asiyatan. Since Megillah has two different mitzvot, it hides a second element, another dimension, another mitzvah, therefore requires two brachot. But we're not out of the clear yet. What are we up to? Shechiyot, right. I was hoping you had forgotten about Shechiyot.
I was thinking of something. You made Hallel. Hallel has a bracha at the beginning, also has a bracha at the end.
So we see that in certain cases of Shevach V'Odoya, we're going to need a bracha at the end. In fact, that bracha at the end is dependent upon minhag. Our minhag is to make the bracha. But the reason why that bracha is dependent upon minhag is the same reason why the bracha of Haravat Riveinu is dependent upon minhag. It's a Shevach V'Odoya that comes after a process of Shevach V'Odoya. So you've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Shevach V'Odoya. Now you're eating another bracha of Shevach V'Odoya to sort of sandwich it like bookends. That depends upon minhag. Oh, but what about Shechiyot? I want to suggest the following. Under what circumstances are we obligated to recite this bracha Shechiyot? Or in another formulation, what precipitates this bracha? Give me an example of something new.
A new fruit.
A new fruit, what else?
A new
garment. What else?
A wedding.
Okay, a new mitzvah. Oh. A new mitzvah, no less than a new garment or a new fruit, generates a bracha of Shechiyonu. We thank God for having maintained us to this day of a mitzvah. Now notice, if you have a mitzvah that's daily, or even weekly, you're not going to make a bracha of Shechiyonu on that mitzvah. But if you have a mitzvah that comes from time to time, it's stretched out over a long period of time, then on the first occasion that you fulfill that mitzvah, you recite a Shechiyonu.
When you have the mitzvah stretched out, or the... Or
no, the time period. The time period. No, it's not a daily mitzvah, it's not a weekly mitzvah, it's not a monthly mitzvah, it's an annual mitzvah. Once a year, we have this mitzvah. So then, we have to recite a Shechiyonu. Who can give me examples of mitzvot, the first time that we fulfill them, we recite Shechiyonu?
The first time we eat the matzah.
Matzah, what else?
The first time they
lulav, what else? Sukkah, correct? All these mitzvot that come once a year, then on the first occasion that we fulfill the mitzvah, we recite Shechiyonu.
Every regular Kiddush.
Kiddush? Yeah, but the Shechiyonu of... You see, the Shechiyonu of Kiddush is complicated. Okay, it probably refers to a different category of Shechiyonu.
Well, it's the day, isn't it?
Correct. It's another thing. You see, I told you about a fruit, and I told you about a garment, and then I told you about a mitzvah. There's a fourth category of Shechiyonu, and that's the day. What's called the Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day. But it could be that the Shechiyonu on the sanctity of the day that recited Kiddush also fulfills a different dimension of the new mitzvah. Like, for example, you'll see in the Matzah, it may say that you should have in mind, in certain cases, the mitzvah that you're going to fulfill. All right, that has to do with Yom HaRichtah and Rosh Hashanah and 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It becomes somewhat complicated. But let's get to the simple stuff. Why complicate matters? We definitely make a bracha of Shafiyana on a mitzvah, a new mitzvah. Oh, says Abaye, the requirement to make a bracha of Shachiyano on a new mitzvah is absolute. It comes under the halacha, the dictum of Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvos kula mevarech aleihem over lasiyotan. Meaning, that what Abaye understood from Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel is not necessarily a bracha on the mitzvah in a classical sense. It could be a bracha on the mitzvah in a shevach vodoya sense, meaning if the mechayev, okay, we'll have to translate that word into English, right? If what precipitates the chiyuv, what engenders the chiyuv of shevach vodoya to thank Hashem and praise God is the mitzvah itself, then that too comes under the category of Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. Kol ha-mitzvos kula mevarech aleihem over la'asiyotan. What comes under mevarech aleihem over la'asiyotan is an absolute requirement. Number one, a classical bracha is formulated asher kishanu mitzvos v'tzivanu. Number two, a bracha which is recited on the embellishment of that mitzvah, an additional kiyum if the mitzvah conceals a secondary dimension. And number three, the bracha of Shechiyanu, which is recited on the mitzvah because it's such a rare occasion that we're so excited that God has maintained us to this moment that we can fulfill this mitzvah, we're required to thank Hashem. So it doesn't mean, according to Abaye, that Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel's dictum is limited to what we call a birchas ha-mitzvah strictly, formally, in chefetz shel bracha, that the bracha is A to Z, soup to nuts, a birchas ha-mitzvah. But he means any bracha that's precipitated by the mitzvah. Any bracha that is engendered by the mitzvah is an absolute requirement. It does not depend and does not reflect the custom, the minhag.
But you say Shechiyanu,
oh, that's a gigantic issue which God willing will pick up when we get back to the Gemara on Daf Dalid, because the question is, what is the main, I don't know if you recall, we said over the name of the Sfat Emet last time, according to Sfat Emet, the Ikar Mitzvah of Megillah is by day. So, we basically have two different mitzvahs. We have one mitzvah of Mikra Megillah by night, which is a kind of preparatory mitzvah. It's a training program, if you remember. And that's going to get us ready for the main mitzvah frontal stage that comes out. We give it a grand applause. That's Megillah by day. And therefore, we may, according to the Sfas Emes, come to the conclusion that even the Megillah by day requires Shechiyot.
Because it's on a higher level.
Yeah, it's like a new mitzvah that emerges. But be that as it may, when it comes out now, according to Abaye, it's definitely the case that all three brachot, all manach, whether it's al mikra Megillah, whether it's Shasan Nisan, whether it's Shechiyot, they all are an absolute requirement because they are engendered by the mitzvah per se. Then you have a separate Shevach Vodoya. Harovas Rivenu. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch that if they forgot that bracha, they can recite it later on. It doesn't have to be recited exactly at the conclusion of Mikra Megillah. We recommend that that's the place to do it because otherwise people are going to forget to recite it. So the whole tzibur is there, the whole community is together for Mikra Megillah. Now's the time to recite the communal bracha of Harovas Rivenu. But if the community failed to do so, they can recite it even the next day. It's not dependent upon the Megillah per se. It's a Shevach Vodoy on the great miracles that God brought about for us on Purim. If that be the case, that Shevach Vodoy, says Abaye, could be dependent upon Minute. There were traditions to have it, and there were those who didn't have it. Oh, if this be the case, then now I understand the parallel, the mirror image between Chanukah and Purim. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that Chanukah requires three brachot. Number one, Asher Kidshonu Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Number two, the second bracha is Sha'asa Nisim Levoseinu. Sound familiar? Of course it's familiar. It's the identical bracha that we recite on Megillah. And the third bracha on the first night is Shechiyanu. Says the Ritva. This is in Masechta Shabbos in the famous Sugi of Chanukah on Daf Chav Gimel. The minig is, he says, to recite three brachos before the hadlaka. So he's asking why? Why before the hadlaka? Says the Ritva, Mishum, they call a mitzvos kulon, nevarech aleihem over lasiyoson. Here's the connection, the overlap between Purim and Chanukah. The Ritva insists that all three brachos be recited before the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. And why? Because of the principle of Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Varech Lahem Over Las Yosen. I don't understand, what's the Ritva talking about? If the Ritva was only speaking about one of the three brachos, namely Asher Kitzonim Tzotzitzonim LaHadlik Ner Chanukah, I understand that comes on the Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Varech Lahem Over Las Yosen. But he says Kol Shloshtam, all three have to be recited before the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. And why? Because of the principle of Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Varech Lahem Over Las Yosen.
Does anybody argue for a fourth bracha in Chanukah after the lighting?
I don't know. But Lawrence, give me a minute just to finish this point. So again, what am I seeing in this Ritva? I'm very excited about this Ritva. If you haven't gotten the impression yet, I want to squeeze this Ritva for everything I can. The Ritva is saying that all three brachos before Chanukah come under the principle of Over Las Yosen, of Kol HaBrachos Kulam, of Kol HaMitzvos Kulam, Varech Lahem Over Las Yosen. In other words, on one level, the Ritva is classifying all three brachos under Birchas HaMitzvah. We know that can't be true, because the second bracha and the third bracha are not Birchas HaMitzvah, not in the classical sense anyway. But nevertheless, he's willing to stretch it and broaden the category of Over Las Yosen of the dictum of Kol HaMitzvos Kulam to include all three brachos. Then we must come to the conclusion that Chanukah has a second dimension to it. It's not just the mitzvah to light the Ner Chanukah, but through the lighting of the Ner Chanukah, we fulfill the mitzvah of Shevach, of praise, of Hodoya, thanksgiving to God for the miracles of Chanukah. In fact, the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Mitzvah Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. It's a very beloved, cherished mitzvah by all Jews, all feeling Jews. And Tzarech Lizayr Bah, and we have to be very meticulous about its observance, Kedei LaHosif Shevach Lakel, to add praise for Hodoya Lo Al Anisim Shasalonu. You see that the Rambam, when he codifies the halacha of Ner Chanukah, clearly indicates that through the Ner Chanukah, not only do I fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlaka per se, but I also fulfill the mitzvah of Shevach Vodoya. And therefore it's absolutely appropriate that a second bracha be added to Ner Chanukah, in addition to the classical bracha, formulated in terms of Asher Kidshonim Mitzvot Tzivonu as a Birchas HaMitzvah and Hadlaka. There's another dimension to the mitzvah of Hadlaka. Through the Hadlaka I fulfill Shevach Vodoya, and if I require a second bracha. Where do we find a second bracha that was added for a mitzvah that has within it a kiyum of Shevach Vodoya? Yeah. In Mikra Megillah. Same thing happens in Chanukah. That's why the Ritva adds these words, Ukmo Shemavarech Shloshton Kode Mikra Megillah. What about the third one? Shekhianu. Once again, Chanukah candles is something we wait a whole year for, the first night, first opportunity. That mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Mizman Wuzman, generates a chiyuv shevach odoy of shachiyonu v'kimonu v'giyol asman hazeh. That too is connected to the mitzvah, and insofar as the mitzvah engenders this brach of shachiyonu, then it's not dependent upon minog. It now becomes an absolute chiyuv. So we see quite clearly that both in the case of Megillah and in the case of Chanukah, three brachos, so no less than three brachos, were established on the mitzvah itself, come under the dictum of Kol HaBrachos, Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Varech Lahem Over Las Yosen, and are not dependent upon minhag. They are absolute in every place and every time. However, my friends, we still didn't answer our second question. And that was the question, if you recall, the Turi Evan. Let's go over the Turi Evan's question. He says, you know what? Maybe the Birchas HaMitzvah itself is dependent upon minhag. Why? Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is of the opinion that on a mitzvah d'Rabbanon, you drop the bracha. So maybe there are those communities that accepted Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah d'Rabbanon. Not even a birchas mitzvah I'm talking about. And there are those communities who rejected Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and require a bracha on a mitzvah d'Rabbanon, like a mitzvah d'Oraisa. So maybe that's what's dependent upon minhag. What forces Abai's hand to assume that only a birchas shevach v'odoya, the likes of Haravis Rivenu, would be dependent upon minhag? Maybe even the Birchas HaMitzvah depends upon minhag. That was the kasha of the Turi Evan. So once again, I want to try in my own humble way to answer this question. What's bothering Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? What doesn't he like about a mitzvah d'rabbanan that therefore he wants to rob it, so to speak, of its bracha? Now there are two answers to this question. One answer is, on a very superficial level, he's bothered by a technicality, what we call in basketball a technical foul. Why is it a technical foul? How could you say, Asher kidshanu b'mitzvos, of God, you have sanctified us with this mitzvah, v'tzivanu, and you've commanded us, heichan tzivanu? Where did the Torah command us? On Megillah reading on Purim, on Hanukkah candles on Hanukkah. How can you express yourself and declare in that way that God, you have commanded us in this mitzvah? It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So then those who argue with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi reject him, as we do la halacha. They're saying, you know what? The Torah says, listen to the rabbis. V'yasisa kakasha yerucha. They, the rabbis, have the power and the authority to institute an obligation. Therefore, Asher kitshanu mitzvosav, you, God, have commanded us to light Hanukkah candles or to read the Megillah on Purim, because you commanded us to listen to the Chachamim, so I have to listen to the Chachamim and implement this mitzvah. But there's another way of understanding Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, on a much more profound level. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that you can only make a bracha on an asiyah, on something that's defined, and that's where the end of every Birkas HaMitzvah defines and names and categorizes the asiyah, the action that I'm about to implement. The mitzvah act. We can call it the Maisa Mitzvah, called the Cheftish HaMitzvah, whatever term you want to use it, but it means the essence of that act. And here's the question. The Rabbanan could certainly command me to fulfill a mitzvah. They certainly have the authority vested in them by the Torah to obligate me in a certain mitzvah. But when I fulfill that mitzvah, what is it? Is it that mitzvah per se? Is that a mitzvah unto itself? Is there some status or significance halakhically defined in that, inherent in that action? Does that action have the grade? Is it upgraded to the status of a mitzvah? Can the Rabbanan create a new mitzvah? The Rabbanan could tell me, listen to the Rabbanan. Mitzvah l'shma v'divrei chachamim. Every mitzvah the Rabbanan, insofar as it comes out of Yosisa Kechol Sheyerucha, is a vehicle through which I fulfill the mitzvah of listening to the chachamim. But to say that specifically this action that I'm about to implement, for example, Ner Chanukah, comes Chof Hei B'Kislev, and I light an Ner Chanukah. Is that a Cheftish or Maisa Mitzvah? Is that a Maisa Mitzvah which halakhically is recognized? You want to make a bracha asher kitshanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu lishma v'kol chachamim, that through the Ner Chanukah I'm listening to the rabbis and they commanded me with the authority vested in them to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Fine. But you can't say asher kitshanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu al mikra megillah or al halakas Ner Chanukah, lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Where does the Torah recognize lahadlik Ner Chanukah? Lighting candles? That's a nice thing. You want to light candles? Go ahead. But the Torah never recognized it. So in Migdash, there was a mitzvah to light the menorah. On those candles, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, we can make a bracha. Shekichonim tzolzim tzivonu lahadlik ner sheva Migdash. Because hadlokas ner sheva Migdash is a bona fide, significant, high status profile, maisa mitzvah, cheftishol mitzvah in Torah, and the Torah says it. But that the Rabbanan could institute a whole new maisa on the 25th of Kislev, we got to light candles. Is that a Torah's Maisa Mitzvah? That allows me to make a bracha asher kitshanu mitzvosav lehadlik ner chanukah. What's lehadlik ner chanukah? You want to tell me after mitzvah in? If this be the case, then I'll tell you the difference. The difference would be between Chanukah and Mikra Megillah. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi goes on record in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Vav as saying that on a mitzvah d'rabbanan we don't make a bracha, he's not referring to all mitzvahs d'rabbanan. What he means is a mitzvah d'rabbanan that doesn't have the power to generate a maisa mitzvah. The Rabbanim can't create a Maisa Mitzvah ex nihilo like a rabbit out of a hat. Magically create a new Maisa Mitzvah. I can make a bracha on this and call it a Maisa Mitzvah. It's not. The Maisa Mitzvah is defined by the Torah, not by the Chacham. They don't have the power to engender a Maisa Mitzvah that's inherently called a Maisa Mitzvah. You have to listen to the Chacham and that you have to do. But if we can come up with a Mitzvah Derabbanan which generates a Maisa Mitzvah that the Torah itself would recognize, if I could take the Maisa Mitzvah and fit it into a context, into a framework of a Mitzvah D'oraita, of an action which would be meaningful on a Torah level even if the Rabbanan had not obligated me to do that action, then even Rabbi Yeshua Lev would agree that I can make a bracha. Who can think of an example of an action which is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but the action per se is meaningful on a Torah level, even had the Rabbanan not instituted and established that chiyuv? Mikra Megillah. Why? Why would Mikra Megillah be meaningful per se on a Torah level, even had the Rabbanan not obligated me to read the Megillah? Today is the 22nd of Kislev, is it not? If I take out a Megillus Esther tonight and I read it, is that meaningful?
No.
It is.
Yes.
Why?
Studying.
Okay, he's saying Lashon Kodesh. What is what mitzvah is it? If I could ask you to say it in Lashon Kodesh. Studying, what's
Talmud
that called?
Torah.
Talmud Torah! Exactly, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Megillah is one of the 24 holy books of the Bible, of the Holy Script, and therefore it's not inferior to any other Kriya. What the Rabbanan did was, they took the Mikra Megillah, which is a mitzvah and a maisa that's meaningful per se, even before the Rabbanan came along, and they established it as a chiyuv, as an absolute obligation, on the 14th and 15th of Adar. That time, at that time in the calendar, you have to perform this mitzvah. But the performance itself is meaningful even without the Rabbanan. On a Torah level, the Torah recognizes Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah is no worse than reading Bereishis Bara Elokim.
So what that suggests,
therefore, even Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi would make a bracha on Mikra Megillah. If that be the case, and just one more minute, and then the floor is yours, Lawrence, I can come back full swing to answer the Turi Evans question. How did Abaye know that the bracha that the Mishnah had in mind, which is dependent upon Minog, is not the bracha before the Megillah, but the bracha after the Megillah, Aravis Rivenu? The answer is he knew that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi would also agree, would also admit, that the bracha on the Megillah would be a requirement, absolutely, even though Megillah is Derabbanan, because Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi admits that if you have a mitzvah Derabbanan with a maisa mitzvah d'oraita, then you can certainly make a bracha. Good? Okay. Lawrence, what did you want to say?
Two things. One,